Hi, I'm Ross Reynolds. I've had the opportunity to interview many great artists over the years. This is one of my favorite conversations. It's with the late Lionel Hampton, a jazz giant. His career spans 7 decades. He performed with Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington, and many other greats. I began by playing an excerpt of one of Hampton's best-known tunes called Flying Home.
Flying Home, a song recorded some 50 years ago by Lionel Hampton and his orchestra, a song co-written by Lionel Hampton, Benny Goodman, and Sid Robin, and we heard Illinois Jacquette on the saxophone solo there. Vibraphonist Lionel Hampton has been recording music for some 62 years with Louis Armstrong, Gene Krupa, Duke Ellington, Coleman Hawkins, and Dizzy Gillespie. He's played at the White House, received more than 15 honorary doctorates, and even had the music school at the University of Idaho named after him, and he's still pursuing an active performing career. Thanks very much for being with us, Lionel.
Well, I'm very happy to be here on this famous campus, the University of Washington, huh?
Yeah.
You know, this was my favorite football team last year.
Oh, you were betting on the Huskies?
Yeah.
Well, you did well then, I bet.
I said, yeah.
Tell me about playing with Louis Armstrong. I read that he invited you to play at a recording session back around 1930, but it wasn't on the instrument that you become famous for, the vibraphone. It was on drums. Is that right?
Yes, and they have a set of vibraphones in the audience studio, and he asked me if I knew anything about the instrument, and just really fortunate that I had some lessons on the xylophones, which is the grandfather of the vibraphones. And so he asked me that I had, could I play it? So I said, oh, sure. I never played a vibraphone before, but it seemed they had the same keyboard that the xylophones have. So I had been practicing up on some solos before I met Louis that I've taken off the records of recordings that I heard of his. And I played this, he asked me to play something, so I played one of these, this number that I knew that I had got from the recordings that he had recorded, see. And so I played it, and he liked it so well, he said, oh, boy. I said, wait, let's put this on recordings. So we did. We played a number called Memories of You.
And that encouraged you to stick with the vibraphone?
Yeah. It was the first time jazz had ever been played on the vibraphones, and it came out good, you know. People liked it, so we stuck with it.
In those early years, was it hard to get the vibraphone taken seriously as a jazz instrument, since people probably weren't used to hearing it used in that context?
Well, the audience wasn't used to hearing the sound, but when they got heard the sound, it was unique, and so they stuck with it, you understand? Mm-hmm. And vibes kept growing and growing, you know, and more. The more the students started playing it, and it was a very popular instrument today.
You joined the Benny Goodman Quartet. When was that?
That was April. No, it was the first time I met Benny Goodman. It was in August the 19th, 1936. We got in a jam session together, and the place I was playing called the Paradise Nightclub down in Los Angeles. So Benny was having to be out there with his band doing an engagement. And so he came by the place where I played at, because I played a little later than he played. Mm-hmm. And we got in a jam session. He liked it so well, he said, come on, let's record this. So the next morning went out to RCA Studios and made this recording together. Two tunes, one tune called Dinah, another one called Moonglow. He had RCA Victor put those records out, and they got so popular, it was 1936, that I joined the Benny Goodman Quartet. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time the black and white professionals ever played together.
Did that cause a stir?
No, it caused a little questioning. And they asked Benny, why do you have the black boys playing with the white boys? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, you need the black keys and the white keys to make harmony, make perfect harmony.
So, did you tour in the South at all at that time with the mixed band?
Oh, yeah, we toured, you know. But Benny handled it so wonderful, and, you know, and the people respond to it really wonderful, too. Mm-hmm. It was a unique idea, but it was a good idea, and played good jazz, played good music.
Tell me about forming your big band in 1940 rather than sticking with the small combo format that you've been doing up to then.
Well, after I left Benny Goodman's quartet, after playing with him 4 years, well, Benny had resigned from the music business for a while on account of illness he had. And so he told me, he said, hey, it's time you can get a band now, and I'll back you up. So he did, and I was in Los Angeles, California, and there were some good young musicians wandering around in Los Angeles at the time. One guy by the name of Illinois Jacket playing tenor saxophone. Another guy by the name of Dexter Gordon, he was just coming up. And the Rawl brothers, Marshall Rawl and Ernie Rawl, one played saxophone, another played clarinet, but it was very, very good. And from the nucleus of that, well, we got a band together.
You know, you've got a reputation in some quarters for being a pretty tough disciplinarian with some of the bands that you've worked with. And there's a story that that I've read about that Clifford Brown once had to escape down a fire escape in a Paris hotel that the band was staying at back in 1953 because you had a guard posted outside the hotel to make sure that people didn't sneak out at night. Is that a true story?
Oh, no. I don't know. Maybe my wife, late wife might have did that. She was pretty strict, you know, Stan. And about that, of course, a bunch of youngsters, we had the best guys just barely in their teens, barely out of the teens, I mean, say. And so she was a watching mother. She watched those guys closely, even watching me, you know, putting me on alarms, $1.50 a day.
Lionel Hampton's our guest on Seattle Afternoon. Let's hear Lionel Hampton doing some singing on a piece recorded back in 1945 called Hey Baba Rebop.
Hey, buff, hey, buff.
Say, if you can't say rebop, keep your big mouth shut. Saying, hey, bop, rebop.
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 Yes, your baby know. Mama's on the chair. Papa's on the cot. Baby's on the floor blowing his natural top. Saying, hey, bop, rebop.
Hey, bop, rebop.
Hey, bop, rebop.
Hey, Baba Rebop.
Hey, Baba Rebop.
Hey, Baba Rebop.
Yes, your baby know.
Hey, Baba Rebop, Lionel Hampton, who's our guest today on Seattle Afternoon. Where'd those words come from, anyway?
Well, you know, I was playing in the theater in Detroit, Michigan, and the kids just in between numbers used to be clapping their hands and hollering, "Hey, Baba Rebop, Hey, Baba." I kept listening, and so we had a recording session, so we put those words together with some music and did this recording of it, and it got very popular.
You've got quite a few musical associations with Seattle. Who are some of those people?
Well, it was one lad that we had taken him away from here. And, we were speaking, and he traveled with us, was Quincy Jones, you understand? Mm-hmm. And another one was Ernestine Anderson, a singer that's doing very good now, and also another girl by the name of Jeanette Thurlow. And We just missed taking Ray Charles from here. Ray Charles and Quincy Jones had a little gig band around here. They were using playing together, and when I needed to fill another trumpet space, and I asked Quincy could he play trumpet, Because he read on trumpet and he played trumpet. Or he came to me with some arrangements. He wanted me to play some arrangements of his. Mm-hmm. And so he said, yeah. So he, I had, well, come on, you sit up in the band. We was playing at the Orphan Theater here. And so so when he got in the band, next day he asked me, he said, you want me to go with you to pull an organ? I said, yes. He said, well, I got a friend of mine who can play saxophone, can really sing the blues. He said, why don't you give him a try and put him on stage? I said, well, I get down to pull an organ, we'll have him come in and work with us. So, but when he got down to pull an organ, he had, Ray Charles had got a job with a guy by the name of Fuller. Lloyd Fuller, what's his last name? It was a blues singer. And he needed a piano player, so instead of playing saxophone with me, he played piano with this guy, Fuller. And so I missed him instead.
Well, you might have missed discovering Ray Charles, but you sure discovered and worked with a lot of other great talent over the years, including Dinah Washington. Now, how did she come to join your band?
Well, you know, I needed a young girl singer, and I was in Chicago, and I was recommended by a guy by the name of Joe Sherman, who had a show bar there where the sailors used to come in and get their beer when they wasn't out at the Great Lakes Trading Station. And he told me, he said, what you doing in town? I said, I'm looking for a girl singer. So he said, well, I got one working in the ladies' powder room. Said, she sounds pretty good. So every time the band started playing, she sticks her head out the door and started singing with the band. They had a five-piece combination. The guy was named Walter Fuller, a famous trumpet player around that area. And so he said, I was out at the Regal Theater in Chicago, on the south side, and that's when we used to play. I played 4 and 5 shows a day because blacks didn't have no place to go for their entertainment. So they used to wait for us, our bands and our entertainers to come through and make appearance at the local theater so they'd come and hear us, you know. And as the boy said, dig us. I said, well, between one of the shows, I told Joe Sherman, well, I'm here for a week. I come in here, this girl sing. So I did. I went down there to sing. And so I liked to sing. And I said, well, you come down and do one matinee with me. So she did. She sang, and I liked to sing. And I said, would you like to join the band? She said, sure. I said, but what is your name? She said, my name is Ruth Jones. I said, well, I don't like that name. Could I call you something else? She said, I don't care what you call me as long as you give me the job. So I looked up in the clear blue sky and I said, if now your name is Dinah Washington.
And that sure stuck.
Yeah, that stuck. She was a great, great singer. And the guy standing next to her said, oh, there go my gig. I want to sing with you. I said, well, you can sing the next show. Because we did 4 and 5 shows a day, and so he sang, and I liked him, and I hired him. His name was Joe Williams.
Wow.
We would say, wow, that's right.
Tell me how you came to record the song Blowtop Blues.
Well, Leonard Fellows had wrote the song. Famous jazz writer, and so he gave me the copy, and I had him in my folio for a while, and so when Dinah came along, well, that was a material that she could use on a recording, and she did, and it came out famous.
Who are the young players now who you admire?
Well, I got a couple of guys in the band. I got a new guy, a trumpet player, joining the band tonight. A boy by the name of Charles Hessen. He's been playing down in Purdue with the bands. You know, it's just where you're getting your musicians from now. You're getting musicians that train in the colleges, the universities, because they have these subjects as a study, and a music study. And then they go there every day and they get their training on the instrument. And if they're gonna be arrangers, well, they have bands on. Campus. Some of them got like down in the University of Idaho, down where they got the Lionel Hampton School of Music. Well, we got 4 bands coming out of that school. And
does that school training make them better when they get to your band?
Yes, because they train trained to really to about master the instrument, you understand? Mm-hmm. And they learn arranging, they learn how to arrange, and they practice playing arrangements because that's part of their study. You know, in the schools, and so when they come out to play in a band like mine, it's just like drinking water, you know what I'm saying? Because they heard that training so long, and they're so well fortified and so well fitted into this area.
Lionel Hampton's with us on Seattle Afternoon, the jazz great. Let's hear something of a more recent vintage. This is off a recording called "Made in Japan." A little bit of a piece called "Advent," Lionel Hampton and the big band off a recording called "Made in Japan." And watching you on stage, I thought, here's a man who's thoroughly enjoying himself. You were smiling. It was clear you were having a good time, and it made me wonder about someone who's been performing for so many years, seen so many clubs. How do you keep it fun for yourself? How do you make it fun for you?
Well, it's fun to me every time I play my instrument. I love the vibes. I love music. And I love to get the best out of it. Every night I play, I'm learning something new. Mm-hmm. And, it's really, it's an adventure. You know, you just have so much fun.
What do you want to do now with your music? What are your goals?
Well, I will keep playing. Keep playing. And find some new things to play and play some new things.
Lionel Hampton Orchestra, I note, is taking bookings until at least 1995.
Oh, Bible.